football on off the ball.
We've all talked about it, you know, it's time for other people to step up, losing big characters as they were, and obviously the lads who have played a lot of games, they'll be missed obviously, but it's up to the rest of us to stand up, and I feel like in pre-season so far we have been.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls, Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Hello and welcome to a final Rugby Daily from myself, Susanna Mullen, here in Paris. Sitting in the airport reflecting on last night's performance, it's hard not to feel solemn about Ireland's 36-14 defeat against France in Paris yesterday. Coming up, we'll hear from the Ireland head coach and captain Andy Farrell and Caelan Darris, some more disappointed players, and Andy Dunn, who was one of the few to find glimpses of positivity in Ireland's performance last night. 22-0 at halftime, Ireland had a huge task ahead of them by the time the second half kicked off in the Stade de France. Although the bench added some much-needed impact in the closing 40, they'd built themselves far too big a mountain to climb, as persistent handling errors in that first half repeatedly handed momentum back to the home side. Head coach Andy Farrell was visibly seething in the post-match press conference, stunned by his side's performance in that opening 40.
Learned a lot about the team and the individuals, and I suppose these type of occasions, these type of events are a first for quite a few of our group, and Every game that you play for your country, whether it be a big win or a tough loss, it has to be a learning curve, and we have to take those learnings from that, and as a group and as individuals, we need to use it in the right manner and move on. But I felt, Murray, that we had the right intentions with our preparation of how we wanted to play the game, and hopefully that does stand to us. But you cannot play the game at this level without having the right intention. It's an absolute must, and it's the first thing that has to be down on the list to make sure that it's delivered every single time that we take the field.
A dejected Ireland captain, Caelan Darris, echoed Farrell's sentiments as he struggled to find the words to describe where it all went wrong for Ireland.
I think the bench made a good impact. Faz alluded to it there. There was some good resolve in the second half, but we don't want to be a team that's chasing. You know what I mean? We left ourselves too big a mountain to climb. And that's down to some passiveness in D, not being connected, not being dominant in collisions, allowing them to flourish with their keeping the ball alive in attack.
Caelan, as captain, what was your message to the group in the changing rooms after the game there?
It was Fazio mainly spoke about coming back into work with an opinion. It doesn't start at zero. Like, there's some good lessons learning that. There was a lot of good stuff in the prep. We're going to have a deep dive into how we can make that better, but there's a lot of good stuff in there as well. But coming in with a proper opinion and seeing a reaction next week.
Both sides sought to utilise the advantages of kicking tactically and often throughout the 80 minutes in Paris, with 39 kicks each, according to the post-match stats. Unfortunately for Ireland, they came out second best in the competition for that breaking ball, and as Six Nations debutant Kian Prendergast said, France were able to pounce on any opportunity they were given. I just suppose, how do you sum up the emotions after that?
Yeah, look, obviously incredibly disappointed. It's disappointing to lose your first Six Nations game, and obviously to lose a game for Ireland, and that's never acceptable. So, look, we'll take a few days off, and then we'll show up to camp on Sunday and be honest with each other, review it, and learn and go forward.
What felt like in real time on the pitch in that first half? What did it feel like was going wrong?
It's hard to pinpoint one thing. It just felt like they were probably getting, I wouldn't say the bounce of the ball, but I think they were probably playing better in that looser kind of game, and they were probably winning more collisions than we were, which was disappointing. And look, they're too good a side, they have too much X factor. They get half a sniff, and they're a brilliant team. They've got a lot of X factor in the back three. Obviously, your man at nine is brilliant. So look, that's tough.
Despite the disappointment, Prendergast was able to find a moment to enjoy his debut on the big stage and recognise the growth in his game that got him to that starting jersey.
Yeah, look, it's something I've been searching for a number of years, so it's incredibly special, obviously, to play in a tournament like this. And yeah, like, I'm proud, but obviously I would have liked to win the game.
Andy, just earlier in the week, spoke about the maturity he's seen in you, especially with captaining in Connacht. Have you felt that kind of growth in your game yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think every year you learn, every game you learn. I definitely feel that the responsibility given to me in Connacht has helped me grow. It's challenged me. It hasn't been smooth sailing all the time, and you can only grow when you're put in challenges like that. So it's nice to feel like you've grown, and it's good to get opportunities like this.
It wasn't a debut for Ulster's Jacob Stockdale tonight, but it was a long-awaited return for the 29-year-old, who hadn't played in the tournament since March 2021. Getting a spot on the left wing ahead of Leinster's James Lowe, it was a difficult game for him under that greasy high ball. Speaking to him in the mix zone after the match, he recognised that the bounce of the ball didn't always go his way last night, but he was proud of his resilience that he showed to stay in the game till the final 80. Obviously, you spoke about the aerial battle there. What do you reckon went wrong in a way? Because you guys were set up for it to be a real contest, and maybe they just got the break of the ball a few times too many?
Yeah, I think like with the new laws and, you know, not being able to cradle, it does turn it into much more of a contest. And unfortunately, like, you know, it's the old cliche, the bounce of the ball, but like it is very true in a rugby match, you know, and they were able to pick up more scraps than we were able to.
And I know it's hard to take positives after in retrospect, but as he said, coming back on, earning your place on that left wing, we haven't got to speak to you, I suppose. How good was that coming into the game?
Yeah, it was super. You know, it was really nice to have the support from back home. And you know, it was pretty well documented that I haven't played a Six Nations game since 2021. So to be able to get back on the pitch was really special for me. And yeah, like, I just tried to work as hard as I could tonight, and just kind of give everything. So.
Did it feel any different?
No, it felt just as hard. But no, it was like, I think, for me as a player and a person, like, I've grown a lot in terms of like resilience, and you know, kind of had to over the last couple of years, and I think that stood to me, you know, particularly tonight. I think that's probably a game in the past where I maybe would have shied away in the second half and not really kind of attacked it as much, whereas tonight I felt like I was able to do that a lot more.
Firing up those high balls for Stockdale and Tommy O'Brien to chase was 22-year-old Sam Prendergast. Trusted with that out-half jersey by Andy Farrell once again, it was a difficult game for the young 10, who, despite moments of brilliance, struggled to organise Ireland into any sort of attacking threat. But speaking to Owen Shane live on Off the Ball YouTube after the match from the Stade de France, Andy Dunn was adamant that it wasn't all negative.
Tired with when you're watching Sam. He's a young player, he's clearly talented. He's instinctive. He made a choice, you know, in that first half to what seemed to me at the time instinctively was the right choice. There was an excellent French kick by Jalibert, I think, that was bouncing into touch with a great kick chase from Bialbiari, and Prendergast had a choice to effectively surrender by catching it and run into touch, or to volley it, and he volleyed it, which is pretty unorthodox. But it wasn't a flailing kick that lacked control and went back in field and caused us trouble. It actually hugged that touchline. So the execution of the kick itself, just because it's unorthodox, I don't think we should crucify him for it, because there was still time and scope to try and cover that kick when it landed. We didn't do that, and that's an issue. I'd like to see Sam have a little more conviction and belief around some of his ball carrying today in terms of taking it to the line and being slightly more of a threat, but that's difficult when the game is going against you. And there was a couple of interceptions too. I think what we're seeing with Sam is invariably is we're getting a mixed bag. There are moments of excellence, and there are moments where people can maybe rightly be very critical. But he's a 22-year-old who is learning his trade under the glare of international rugby. We got to a World Cup quarter final with Johnny Sexton playing almost 80 minutes of every game and maybe 65 of that New Zealand game. And one of the biggest problems, I suppose, in the aftermath and the post-mortems was we didn't have enough strength and depth. And I think if we're going to have strength and depth at 10, we've got to see someone like Sam go out there and make mistakes, because there are very few characters that I can think of in the history of professional rugby who at 10 hit the ground running and are flawless. I think Jack Crowley equally deserves, if not the same amount of game time or more game time in this Six Nations than Sam, but it's not a case of, I've said it before, a national referendum every time one of them makes a mistake. Or if Sam appears to be instinctive and unorthodox, that we throw that out or we coach it out of him. I think there are, his positives far outweigh the negatives, but yes, there's consistent queries around his defence and game management, but I think that's par for the course when you're just under the spotlight at 22.
On episode 2 of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors podcast, the stories behind the transfers that almost happened but just about didn't. Focuses on one of the greatest of all time, Pelé.
Pelé. Baba, back to Pelé. Now what's he going to do? He's got the third! Oh, beautiful goal!
And how the Santos superstar nearly swapped Brazil for Hanover. And how a Nazi ice machine salesman nearly pulled the deal off. Dropping in your OTB football podcast feed this Monday. Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors.
On another more positive note for Andy was Ireland's 100% success rate in the scrum, which seemed near impossible when we last watched Ireland's set piece get torn apart by the Springboks in the Aviva at the end of November.
If you told me after the South Africa game back in November that our scrum would perform this well, given we arguably had our fifth or sixth choice front row, I thought the scrum performed valiantly, courageously. I think John Fogarty, as a forwards scrum coach, deserves credit for that. Into the cauldron here against a very strong scrummaging French pack. The line-out was excellent, 17 out of 18 success rate. We kicked the ball 39 times in the game, which is ironically the exact same amount of times the French kicked it, 39 times. So our kicking game wasn't a problem either. It was being caught in that transition, losing possession, coughing it up, and playing against a lethal counter-attacking team in France was the death knell for the team today.
Rugby Daily is on Off the Ball with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. And remember, if you want to listen to any of that chat back, you can do so in your Off the Ball rugby podcast feed now. Become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Maybe a change in personnel was exactly what Ireland's set piece needed to refresh and reset. With 94% success rate in Cian Prendergast's lineout, as well as that strong performance from Jeremy Lachman and Thomas Clarkson in the front row, it is one positive area that Farrell can take into that Italy game next weekend. Chatting to replacement prop Michael Milne after the game, he said success in the scrum had been a crucial focal point coming into the tournament. What was said to the bench coming on, because it was so clear that you guys brought such an energy to the pitch?
I suppose when you're on the bench, you get a great view of the game, how it's going. James Ryan kind of led it, talking about physicality and bringing loads of energy. And I was trying to chat to Finlay. He probably knew I was bringing me along with him. So he was just saying, look, just bring loads of energy and bring physicality. So that's what we aim to do.
And talk to me about the scrum, because it's something we've seen maybe not function as well in the lead up to this, but then it functioned very well today. What kind of, I know there's obviously been a change of personnel in that front row, but what other changes came into place?
No, look, Fogg has put huge effort into us, especially with lads missing, I suppose. But I think all, as a front row, we've seen it as a huge opportunity to make an impact in the game. I think me and Jez were talking about it all week. We know there's been injuries there, but if we can scrum well during the week and scrum well in games, hopefully that shows what we're made of, you know.
Scoring one of Ireland's only two tries in the second half last night, Milne was part of six changes within 10 minutes around the 15-minute mark, as Andy Farrell desperately tried to add some much-needed energy into his side. A huge moment for Milne on just his third senior cap for his country. He spoke about grabbing the opportunity with both hands with the long list of casualties in that loose head position. And how did you feel getting your try?
It was probably from a metre out, so I think I was just got lucky I was in the way.
I know, you got to give me a little bit more than that. What were the emotions?
At the time, I was just like, oh, I hope I scored it, because I wasn't sure. It was kind of down around my waist, so yeah, it was kind of a bit of panic, really. Referee asked me to score, I just said, yeah, and then ran back.
I don't want to say, were you happy that they got injured? Because obviously you weren't, but how great is it to be in the position you are now?
No, look, I know all the lads and I know they all come back very strong. So I suppose it's just an opportunity. When you get them, you have to take them. So Faz probably talked about taking the opportunity when you get them. So, look, that's just what we're going to try and do.
Last question. Do you feel like you took the opportunity and got yourself in the mix tonight?
I'll watch it back and I might be able to answer it on Monday. I'm not sure yet.
Ireland head home now for a big week of prep before they face Italy next week in the Aviva Stadium on Valentine's Day. It'll be a tough camp over the next couple of days as Andy Farrell tries to find that spark in his troops once again. But he says there's no choice. They simply have to bounce back if they want to remain one of the best teams in world rugby.
Well, we have to, don't we? Otherwise, the disappointment stands for absolutely zero, so we have to be honest with each other and say it as it is. We're all to work on next week and make sure that this stands for something, and we need to use it not just individually but obviously collectively to make sure that we give a better showing of ourselves through the rest of this competition, obviously starting with Italy next week.
Andy, are you concerned about the gap that's potentially growing between the top teams? And if so, are you confident that Ireland can close it?
Well, yeah, I am, because I know the people that we've got. I know the good people that we've got, the good players that are not just here, but who are at home as well. I know that there's a determined group to make sure that we are constantly up there at the top of world rugby to be able to compete, and that will always be the case.
Before that Italy game at 2:10 on February 14th, we have Ireland 15 in action against England A tonight in Thomond Park, where they'll be hoping for a better result than their senior counterparts. And with question marks over a number of performances in Paris, Andy Farrell is likely to be watching that game closely when considering his squad for the coming few weeks. Pressure's on, but that is all for today on Rugby Daily. Remember, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your fix so you don't miss an episode Monday to Friday. I'm Susanna Mullen, and I'll be back next week as we build towards round two in Dublin. Chat to you then.
Off the Balls, Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.